Got it. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Actually, I'm going to pick up on verse 24 of Acts 12, but we'll go right into 13. It says, "But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." By the way, I think I said this morning that that was his, Barnabas' nephew. Really, that was a cousin. But I just wanted to correct that real quick. But anyway, chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucas of Cyrene, and Manaea, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Now, I really like this chapter a lot because this talks about the calling of the mission field and, you know, people to the mission field. So I should say the calling of missionaries to the mission field. But, when you look at the background, everything started with Jesus on the seashores of Galilee when He called Peter and Andrew and John and James and all those guys. He called them, and that was His first church. And then as it went along, Jerusalem grew. There was a lot of people. It's hard to even estimate the numbers, but there's a possibility the Church of Jerusalem had a membership of 25,000, maybe even more than that. They had the persecution era there where they were really getting persecuted by Saul, who we just read about. And then Saul, of course, got converted. Everything started pretty much in Jerusalem, and then it went out from there. Now, things have changed. Antioch of Syria is now the kind of the hub of everything. It's kind of switched from Jerusalem down to Antioch of Syria. Could have been for the location of it, but that's not really important. But the fact is, it all went there. And that's where they were working. But I want you to notice, it said, "Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas," and it named off these other guys. Saul was there. And they were there teaching and doing a discipleship class, to be honest with you. And they were there getting people indoctrinated in the Scriptures of what the Lord wanted them. See, they didn't have what we've got. They didn't have the Bible. And so we can sit here and we can read the Bible and we can read the problems that Corinth had. And we can say, well, we want to avoid that here at the church. We can read some of the problems that other churches had and we can avoid that. But they didn't have that. They were getting their direction, so to speak, in prophecies. And the Lord would tell them exactly what He wanted them to say. So they were teaching and they were working, doing what they were supposed to do. It doesn't say that any of them was sitting there warming the pew. You know, we got a lot of Christians today that they like to hold down the pew because gravity, they're afraid, won't work in the church. It does work in the church. Listen, there's something for everybody to do in the church. And if you ever intend for the Lord to do anything in your life as far as working for Him, you've got to be busy where you're at. I've had people say, well, I want to be a missionary in Africa. Well, be a missionary at home first. And then God may open the door for you to go to Africa. You know, if we're not willing to do it here, we sure ain't going to be willing to do it somewhere else. Well, yeah, I can do it somewhere. No, you can't. If you can't do it in your backyard, then you're not going to do it 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 miles down the road. And besides that, the Lord ain't going to send you. These guys were not just sitting around doing nothing. They were actually serving God there. They were teaching and preaching to people. And as it says, as they ministered the Lord to the Lord and fasted. In other words, they were ministering. They were serving there in the church at Antioch of Syria. But they were also fasting. I need to fast. Anyway, they were fasting and praying. Basically, what they were doing is they were looking for seeking what God wanted them to do. They didn't need all of those guys in that one place. But that's where the Lord had them at that time. So they were fasting and seeking the direction of God and trying to figure out where they wanted to go. Now, where the Lord wanted them to go. I've been in the same situation. I've been in an area that I was seeking and fasting and talking to God and saying, what do you want me to do? And the Lord has sent me here and the Lord has sent me there. I was asked at one time, did I want to go be a missionary in Belize? And, you know, I went and spent a little time in Belize and I like it there. It was pretty cool. You know, and I didn't go, by the way, to Belize City where all the stuff is. We were up in the bush. But I liked it up in there. It was neat. They had, one of the villages had, electricity about half a day. And some of them that we went to didn't have electricity. I thought it was pretty cool. They were out there cooking in these big pots. And I was enjoying it, but they wanted to know, well, hey, how would you like to come here? I had a few people ask me that. I started praying to the Lord and saying, hey, what would you have me to do? And when I left Belize, boy, I missed those people. I was like, wow. You know, but I still didn't feel that's where the Lord wanted me. So that's what these guys were doing. They were seeking what God wanted from them. They were seeking where God wanted them to go. I had a lady here in the church ask me, do you think you might go to Holland one day? Miss Norma Brackey, I said, I don't speak Dutch. And she said, I said, does it get cold there? She said, yeah, real cold. I said, I said, but if that's where God sends me one day, I'll go to Holland. You know, it suits me. I want to be where God wants me. God wanted me at Wagon Wheel. He opened all the doors up, and this is where He sent me to. Well, I was praying about where to go. Brother Steve Meese in Danville, Kentucky, was praying about where the Lord was wanting me to go. I was ministering there at the church in Danville, Unity Baptist Church. Brother Eddie Hartman, he had come down, and me and him talked about it. He said, I'll be praying for you, brother. He's in a church over in Virginia. He was Sister Myrna's pastor. Until she moved out here to a better church. No, I'm kidding. And if he listens to this, I'll get in trouble. But no, you won't find a better preacher than Eddie Hartman. That man preached. I love to listen to Brother Eddie. But, you know, he was praying for me. And then the Lord opened the door. That's exactly what these guys were doing. They were praying, seeking what the Lord wanted them to do. And it says, as they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, I don't know about these other guys. I don't know if they stayed there or if they went somewhere else. The Lord didn't see fit to let us know that. But He said, He laid it on the heart of the church to pull these two guys, and they're going somewhere else. And these two guys went off as missionaries. And they traveled around to a lot of different places. Now, I don't want to get real deep into where all they went because I want to bring in Well, it's on my iPad. But I want to let down the screen and show some maps of Saul's first missionary journey. So we won't get too far into it. But so he said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, when I was called to Greeley Missionary Baptist Church to be their pastor, the church, White Oak Baptist Church, they had a group of men come that were pastors. They all came. We had a big service. And they come up and they asked me a lot of questions. They ordained me at that time and they asked me all these questions and la 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 la, the answers. And it was all about the doctrines of the Bible and what the beliefs. And but they all come up and laid hands on me. It wasn't that they come out there and they laid hands on me and gave me some special power. You know, all it is, when you see that, is they were laying hands on them that they approved of what I was about to go do. And they prayed for me. Each one of them come up to me. I don't know, it was about 30 of them, I think. Come up to me, laid their hand on me, leaned over, and they would pray for me. And they prayed out loud for me. I could hear everything they were saying. That's basically all they were doing. And then they were sending me off. They were letting me know, hey, we approve of this man for the work that the Lord's called him to do in Colorado. And so when they did that, then I took off and I went to Colorado and did what the Lord wanted me to do. And when it was time to go, I left. The Lord laid it on my heart to do that. And that's what these guys were doing. Now, they're doing a little different than what I did. I went as a pastor to a church. Now, these guys are going out as missionaries. They're going out and they're starting missions, just like Wagon Wheel Missionary Baptist Mission. We call it Wagon Wheel Missionary Baptist Church. But in reality, it is just a mission. It's part of Sweet Home Missionary Baptist Church. And so, it's a mission. And it's in mission status, although we do a lot of things. We've got the freedom to just kind of do things. And don't think Brother Don and those guys don't kind of ask about what's going on, but they also pray for us. And they're helping us all the time by their prayers, by their support, and all of those things. Eventually, we will do the same thing as what this church at Antioch, Syria did. One of these days, my prayers for Wagon Wheel is we'll be organized into a church and the Lord will call somebody from our congregation to go out into the field, whether it be down the road to start a church somewhere else in Nevada. Trust me, there's plenty of room in this Clark County for churches of like faith. Actually, they need churches of like faith. And so that's what they get. That's what my prayer is, that somebody in this church will one day be called to go out into the mission field right here in Nevada. Somebody in this, who knows? Oh, he's hiding back there. Sammy may be called to go to Africa one day as a missionary. They go over there and they start missions just like we do here. They start a mission. They get people. They pray for them. They bring them in. They preach the gospel to them. People get saved. They start praying for the Lord to give them a pastor and of their own. And they get them a pastor and then boom, they go do another one. And that's all they do. Brother Eddie Williams, he's a friend of mine. Brother Chuck Fernandez, Ernie Hopper. All these guys, that's what they do. Ernie Hopper's been over there for, 100 years. You know, if he ever listens to me, he'll say, I ain't that old, brother. But anyway, he's been over there as long as I remember. You know, Ernie Hopper is, he's been in Africa all over that place. And they start churches. Brother Chuck Fernandez works in the Mount Elgin area over in Kenya. And it's some beautiful country over there. And he starts missions. He's been over there now for, I think, 4, 5, maybe 6 years. And that's what they do because the Lord set them aside and said, this is where you need to go. So verse 4, Well, verse 3, it said, it sent them away. Now, verse 4 says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. Now, this was what Saul did. Jesus, listen, Saul was a Jew. He was a Hebrew. Hebrew Hebrews, he said. But he was also a Roman. Well, he felt it was his need to go to his people, the Jews. So when he would show up somewhere, he would go in the synagogue and preach, and he made a lot of people mad. But he would go in. I really don't think he pulled any punches. I think he laid it out and said, here's the deal. And he would go and preach to these people, and then he would go outside of that and preach to the Gentiles and wherever he went. It also says they had John in their ministry. In other words, John Mark, not the Apostle John, but John Mark, which was Barnabas' cousin, he went with them everywhere they went. Well, part of the way. We're going to see he went home. he went with them, and he was a great help, I'm sure. Now it says, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. This man wanted to hear the word of God. He wanted to know what they were out there doing. For one reason, I'd say he had a lot to do with it. He was a high up official, apparently. And he wanted to see what was going on. But the other reason, I believe, that the Lord Jesus was convicting him. And he wanted to hear the word of God. Now, this other guy was a sorcerer. Now it says, which was with the deputy. In verse 8, he says, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so it is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. In other words, Satan was using him to irritate the situation, to keep from the Word of God getting to this guy. There are groups of people that, and I don't have to say who they are, but they go around knocking on doors together. They always go in twos. And the reason why, it keeps you from converting. It keeps you from preaching the gospel to the one, because the other one will jump in and cause a problem. If you can get them separated, there's a big possibility you could get some understanding into them from the Word of God. But they'll keep one there, just like this guy was doing. He was a problem. So it says, it was helping the deputy to turn away from the faith. Now, verse 9, then Saul, who also is called Paul. Now, from here on out, Saul is no longer Saul. From here on out, he is Paul, because the Lord changed it for him. Filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, he was being controlled by the Holy Ghost. Set his eyes on him and said, oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, this I can't do that to people. I can't. Oh, there's been some times I would like to have, but I can't do that to people. Stand there and stare at them and say, "You know what? You're a child of the devil. You're blind for a while. Get out of my." It removed the problem, and this guy got saved. But we can compare that. A lot of times you run across people, it's a whole lot better if it's a one-on-one when you're out visiting. If you can talk to somebody, start telling them about the Lord Jesus, leading them in the direction of salvation, it's a whole lot better if they ain't got somebody sitting there yan-yan in their other ear. If you can remove that that thorn, if you can remove that that adversary, because I want to, you know, a dog can even be an adversary. I've been in people's houses talking to people about the Lord, and here comes bouncing in a dad-blamed dog flopping all over the place, and the first thing they do is they look over, they lose track of everything he's talking about. And they always show up just when you're thinking, you know, man, they're starting to, the Lord's working on them. Here comes the dog. You know, listen, we were at church camp the other night. Right there at the end, we were in the invitation Tuesday night. Just heard a preacher preach the word. And they got these bugs up here about that big, and they got wings. And they, most of them that were flying around there was little old June bug. They don't hurt you. And they're flying around, and all of a sudden, there wasn't a one moving until the invitation was given. Zzz, here they are flying all around, and the kids are, oh, you know. And I told them, I said, every head bowed and every eye closed. I said, don't worry about them stupid bugs. They ain't going to bother you. They had to get their minds up. But see, the devil will use anything to get people's mind off of what is going on. There were, what, three people saved that night. And so the devil will use many different things. I will encourage you that when you go when you go out witnessing to people, or maybe you've got a friend you'll come across, and you may say, this friend may be interested. Listen, get them by yourself. Get them away from the dog. Get them away from the stupid telephone, because ain't nobody called in a whole week, but they'll call when you start witnessing. You know, the devil will lay it on their heart. Hey, you need to call her. I don't know why, but okay. It happens. I've seen just a regular old housefly cause nothing but an issue. You know them sticky ones, they get on you and it's like, they don't have many of them around here. Man, they got some sticky ones in Lamar. They'll get on you, and you need to reach up there and pet them. You know, irritating. But Satan uses them things. He uses whatever he can to keep people from hearing the Word of God. So, when you go out witnessing to people, you really need to try to make sure that it's just you and them, one-on-one, because you can get so much further. Don't argue about things. Don't get chasing around whether Adam had a belly button or not. That's beside the point. You know, just stick to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what these guys were doing. The Lord called them and said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out, and I want you to go into the mission field and we're going to get into some of the places they went to. But they went and they started missions, because that's what Baptist churches do. We go out and we start missions. The reason this one here exists that we're at, because somebody wanted to start a mission. Somebody needed the Lord over here. So be praying for us that, hey, we'll grow, and one of these days we will be sending out missionaries, whether it just be right here in Clark County or whether it be way up north in Reno. Or who knows? Maybe we'll send Sam over to Madagascar. I don't think there's any people there, are there? Let's all stand. We're going to have an invitation.